Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
On today's Caped Wonder Superman podcast, Superman the movie is back in select theaters and is now available on 4K. Some things you'll want to be looking out for and listening for.
Plus, the ultimate companion for any super fan, The Making of Superman the Movie by David Michael Petro. Now, for the first time ever, you'll hear some of the rare interviews he conducted, including one with Christopher Reeve himself.
And December 15th will mark the 40th anniversary of Superman the Movie, why this film is still the gold standard 40 years later.
Now, the Caped Wonder Superman podcast with Jay Towers and Jim Bowers on iHeartRadio.
Welcome, everyone, to our first ever Caped Wonder Superman podcast. I'm Jay Towers with Jim Bowers. I sit here in Detroit while Jim Bowers just outside of Las Vegas. Jim, hello to you.
How's it going today, Jay?
It's going fantastic. This is exciting. You know, for people that don't know, we tend to do this, and not only you and I, but you and other Caped Wonder fans tend to do this all the time. We kind of get together and really reminisce and talk about why this movie excites us, and these Christopher Reeve films excite us. And we thought, let's do it in podcast form so we can kind of share our memories and some of this fun every week.
Absolutely. And this is all new for me, so I'm really excited about it. And I hope a lot of people will tune in. I know I talk to Caped Wonder people all the time via text, via social media. And what I really love is when I actually get to meet them. You know, when you and I have gone to shows and get to meet people face to face and talk about it over and over again. And we're always noticing new things and discovering new things. And that's what keeps it going.
And Jim, it's important for us right off the bat to just remind anyone listening that we love anyone that wants to listen and kind of celebrate and cherish these memories with us. But there's really a strong mission statement when it comes to this podcast.
Well, that's right. The mission statement is to celebrate the legacy of Christopher Reeve and to honor the writers, filmmakers, special effects wizards, and all of the cast and crew that came together to make this movie and its sequels really take off. And absolutely did we believe that a man could fly because of them and because of all the innovation and dedication that they had to make these films a reality, because they had everything really stacked against them because of all the challenges of special effects and production and working in so many places simultaneously to get these movies made.
And Jim, it's important to just let people know that this won't be a place where we'll be discussing the current versions of Superman or Batman and Justice League and where those films stand today. Although many of these directors and producers were all heavily influenced by the Christopher Reeve films, this is really a place where we can expand on the film series that we loved. And CapedWonder.com does a great job of doing this every day. And we meet great fans all over the United States that love and cherish these films. And that's what it's about. I mean, a place to talk about comic books, not this podcast, but we certainly, again, realize the influence that comic books had.
That's right. In fact, I was never really a comic book reader. Were you, Jay?
I really wasn't. I was excited about seeing Superman in comic books in stores, and I remember asking for those. But we have met so many fans that week after week love their weekly edition of comics. And for me, I was excited to know, and what got me into Superman comics a little bit more was that Mario Puzo was this unbelievable writer who wrote The Godfather and spent time at DC Comics before starting those screenplays for Superman.
Absolutely. And as you can imagine, there's just a plethora of archives at DC to pull ideas and stories from. And, you know, you talk about Mario going to DC Comics. You know, Chris Reeve did the same thing because he really didn't grow up watching much TV. He was brought up by educators, and they wanted him to read books and different things. So he had to get up to speed, if you will, on what the character was about and to capture his essence. So that was really important to him as well.
You know, Superman fans have been really excited over the last year when we first learned that this movie was going to be available in 4K. And it seems like a lot of current films are often, you know, walk through Target or any store and you see 4K versions and you wonder, should I buy a 4K player? And it wasn't for me until I saw some of the classic movies that I love in this great quality. And I guess we should talk a little bit about the fact that, you know, in just a couple of weeks ago, Superman the movie on 4K made it into our homes. Your initial thoughts, Jim, just as a guy who went out and bought a 4K player to see this film.
That's right. I just bought one a day before Superman the movie came out, and which was November, I think it was November 6th. Mm-hmm. And I had known about it since May of this year, when I actually saw the original camera negative cans at Warner Brothers. And I had been hoping that this movie was going to be eventually made a couple of years ago, or actually transferred to 4K a couple of years ago. And so, I bought the player. I already had a 4K TV, and I got that thing hooked up and sat down and started watching it. And really, it was like watching the movie all over again.
Yeah.
You know, 4K's got a bit of a different look than what some people are accustomed to. If you've been watching this movie and other movies in Blu-ray, you know, the evolution of all of this from DVD to Blu-ray to 4K, it's a very exciting time. And 4K is basically in its infancy as far as HDR and all of those different terms that people are hearing about and reading about and what they all mean. But my initial reaction to it was really I was blown away by some of the extra detail you could see. Just for instance, when Superman lands on Lois Lane's balcony, I really noticed how you could tell that his belt was a shiny vinyl material. And the catch lights, which is basically the point of light in people's eyes from the studio lights, were much crisper, more defined. And then overall, they just evened everything out. For instance, the flying scenes, when Superman is chasing the rockets, the background plates looked much more evenly bright and more detailed. And initially, what I noticed, you know, I zipped through it. Admittedly, I didn't watch the whole movie.
Sure.
I had to zip through my favorite scenes and see how they look different. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I have finally sat down and watched the whole thing, and I listened to it. You know, we talk about how great the movie looks, but really one of the most exciting parts of this 4K is the original sound mix is now on this disc, and it's the default sound mix. So if you pop your disc in and you don't go to the audio selection, you're going to immediately hear the original 6-track 70mm audio that we've never heard on home video before. Mm. And it is fantastic. I listened to it with headphones, and I just heard all kinds of things I don't ever remember hearing. And one of them being, and I could go on and on about the sound, but one of them being Frisky the cat. When Superman lands with the cat and gives the cat to the little girl, I started hearing the cat purr. And those little things are what really excite me. Forget that I'm a cat fan, but just hearing that for the first time, it seemed like it was a whole new movie all over again.
Jim, I don't necessarily know all the technology that goes into 4K, but it does make me wonder, when you watch Superman the movie on a 4K player, a 4K television, are we getting the version that is closest to what we saw in theaters in 1978 when that movie first came out, or are we seeing something different?
Well, that's going to be a topic of discussion among fans for a long, long time. Personally, I saw the movie 14 times first run between 1978, December when it opened, and April 1979. And I saw it at the same theater, so I didn't get to see, you know, some of the differences that you might encounter from going to multiple theaters. But from my memory, I think it looks the closest overall. I think people are going to feel that the movie's a bit darker overall than the Blu-ray, just because it was mastered a little differently. But I think it was mastered more true to how it was intended. That is, this is not a movie that's overly contrasty or overly saturated. As a lot of people, I'm sure, know, it was filmed with a lot of diffusion, because that's the magical, dreamy sort of feel, romanticized feel that they wanted. So in to answer your question, I think it looks closer to what I remember seeing than it ever has.
On Thanksgiving weekend, Fathom Events released Superman, the movie, in select theaters across the country, a couple of different showings. What have we heard when it comes to the film in theaters now, and how does it differ from this new 4K that we're looking at?
Well, what I have gotten confirmation about, and I did inquire about that, is that Warner Brothers sent Fathom a 4K digital file from this new master, which is great. And as far as audio is concerned, what we're going to hear is the 2001 enhanced sound mix that I know everybody by now has probably heard. It's the more robust sound mix that has a lot of added new sounds to it, such as when Krypton is being destroyed, you hear more crystal type of sounds. So it's the 17-year-old audio that we're going to hear. We're not going to hear the original sound mix as I had originally hoped we would. The reason for that, I don't know the reason, but I've confirmed that that's what we're going to hear. So basically, you're going to see the brand new picture, and you're going to see the enhanced sound mix from 2001. Now, one of the things that's really important is when you're booking or securing a ticket at one of your local theaters, I'd recommend you call the theater's manager and confirm that they've actually got a 4K projector. Just because they got sent a 4K file doesn't mean they've got a 4K projector. And from what I understand, some of the theaters in the past that have shown Fathom Events movies have only had a 2K projector. So you might want to ask around. If you're lucky enough to be in a city that's showing it in more than one theater, I think it would be worth your while to call or go by the theater and ask them. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I'm taking my family to a theater that's got a 4K projector. So I'm really excited about that.
You know, this year, 2018, marks the 40th anniversary of Superman the movie. And throughout the year, for fans of this film and of the series, there have been some very exciting moments, and there have been some sad ones. Just wanted to kind of reflect back on this year, as of course being a year that we lost the great Margot Kidder, and this happened just a week before she was to attend Motor City Comic Con that you and I both attended. But these stars, up until that point, had been together at a couple of different events and really enjoyed being with fans.
Well, they did. And remember, you and I did WonderCon 2015. That was so much fun. And I'm so glad that you got involved with that. It really made it extra special. And we had a great gathering, didn't we?
Well, I mean, and I think back when you think back of reunions of this film, and obviously when it came out on DVD, that was a big deal. And I know you were a part of that. But just in recent years, I really think, and sadly, I mean, our WonderCon in 2015 was the last time we really had the majority of this cast together.
That's right. We had Valerie Perrine there. Of course, we had Margot there, and she was in great form. She was so great with the fans at her autograph table. And of course, the panel we did, I heard new stories from Margot, and I was really, really happy about that. And that's what I really wanted to do, was pull together as many folks as I could. And I'd known a lot of them a long time, and see where we could take it. And it just went much further than I ever expected. I'm so pleased that it turned out as well as it did.
And these stars love the fan experience. They love it.
The first time I ever got together with them as a big group was in 2001 at Warner Brothers, when the DVD was coming out in May 1st. And I had helped out as a research guy for the three documentaries on that DVD, which have later been released on Blu-ray. And I think they're in this new 4K release. At least a couple of them are. And all of these stars came together really for the first time since the filming of Superman, the movie, and scenes for Superman II, the Richard Donner cut. And it was great to stand back as a non-industry guy and watch how this family reunion really took place. And you really got the sense that they were a family and how much they missed each other and being around each other and the energy that was there. And when Richard Donner walked in the door, it was like Dad had come home. And they were so happy to see him, and big embraces and handshakes and a lot of happiness there. So I knew right off that I was witnessing something pretty darn special. And then, so really they'd become a family on the set in 77, and that had continued all these years later, even though they weren't physically together. So we did that again in WonderCon, and they really have embraced these movies, and they really get it. They get the fans. They understand the enthusiasm and the allegiance to these movies so many years later. And they're just so much fun. All of them are so animated and genuine and really make the fans feel welcome. And they love all the jokes and the cosplay. They're so into it and so interested in doing more shows. In fact, you and I, Jay, hear from them fairly often. Hey, when are we doing another show, or what's going on here? You know, Sarah Douglas, she's always like, hey, I'm ready to go when you are.
And boy, Sarah Douglas is just the master of giving fans that great experience, whether it's at a show or just something on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. She knows that those fans are out there and that love her, and giving back is just such an awesome thing that she does, as she still continues to work today in movies and TV. I wanted to ask you about Noelle Neal, obviously the anniversary of her death just a couple of days ago, and you spending a little bit of time in Metropolis, Illinois, saying goodbye to her.
Some of you might know she became the first lady of Metropolis. You know, they have an annual Superman celebration there the second weekend of every June, and they have for 40 years. And Noelle was invited in 1997. I remember seeing her there. And she went to that celebration nearly every year until she passed away. And she did get her own statue in 2010 there. But they decided to do a memorial service at one of the local churches there and asked me to come and speak. And some of the other fans that had she had known for a long time also came and spoke. And I was really honored to be able to go there and say goodbye. She's greatly missed there and greatly missed by her fans, because she was really...
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Perhaps the first live-action Superman celebrity to start touring and meeting the fans face-to-face. She started this back in the college years in the 70s, and she always embraced that. So I just loved her to death, and what a wonderful, genuine gal, always a warm smile, and she really embraced the show that she was in, which, of course, was The Adventures of Superman. Loved George Reeves so much. And always said that Chris Reeve reminded her of George because they were gentlemen, which she greatly appreciated. So, yeah, we miss her a lot. And she would have been 98 on November 25th this year.
Well said, Jim. And boy, these are two very different actresses in different time periods that played the same character really in two different ways. And they certainly will be missed. You know, we're lucky that we're able to keep these memories alive with the music. And it's been an exciting year for the soundtrack of Superman the movie, Superman 2, Superman 3, recently Superman 4. I don't want to say that there hasn't been much fanfare about some of these releases, but for the diehard fans like us, we've been really excited about what's out now and what's still to come. We've had a really exciting year.
Well, we really have. A few months ago, the Alexander Courage score for Superman 4 was released through La La Land Records, which is really a hot place to go get soundtracks, both from recent films and all of these vintage classics. And Alexander Courage's work on Four is really, for me, a highlight of the movie. And that particular score has the music to the original work print, which is 134 minutes. And then more recently, the Ken Thorne Superman II and Superman III scores were released, again by LaLa Land Records. And it's got all new artwork and a new booklet, and they just do a first-class job. And Mike Mendocino, the master score restoring guy, if you will, he's a good friend of ours, and he always does fantastic work on these scores to make them sound brand new again. So I would definitely recommend you go back and to lalalandrecords.com when you get a chance and get both of those. And who knows what else we're going to see in the near future.
Looking forward to it. We're going to be doing this every podcast, and I'm excited about it because it is a way for us to tap into the mind of Jim Bowers and the amazing timeline that you have stored in your head about the production of Superman the movie and, of course, some of its great sequels. So let's do this.
The Caped Wonder Superman Podcast presents Jim Bowers' Kryptonian Memory Bank.
There you go, Kryptonian Memory Bank. All right, Jim. So let's go back to late November, early December, the filming of Superman the movie, 1977, 41 years ago.
November 77, that was the one-year mark for Richard Donner as the director. He got hired around November of 76, of course, went to New York City and did a lot of scouting and then came on to Shepperton Studios and Pinewood Studios with the huge challenge of making you believe a man could fly, which, as we know, they ultimately did. But in November 77, they had already filmed the majority of the movie, but they still had a ways to go. In early November, he resumed filming the balcony scenes. What a lot of people may not realize is the interview where Lois Lane interviews Superman on her terrace of her balcony of her apartment was filmed over at least a 3-month period. So they started in October, then they resumed in November, decided to change the tone of the scene a little bit along the way. And then in January 78, they finished up the scene. And when you see Superman and Lois take off from the balcony, that was in January. So,
Jim, let me ask you about that balcony scene, because a lot of fans will head to New York City. I just did it a couple months ago and go look for different filming locations for Superman the movie. But there is a building that housed Lois Lane's apartment, that rooftop penthouse. What was actually filmed there in New York?
Well, it's actually the point of view of Superman flying down to the balcony where you see her sitting at the table. That's actual footage in New York. Mm. I've got a Polaroid, a continuity Polaroid, that shows Margot on that balcony on the actual building in New York. And her blue dress is slightly different, so they tweaked that along the way. But let's see, what else was going on in November 77? You know, this whole movie was... so many things were being filmed simultaneously between the miniature sets, the full scale sets. And as you can imagine, Donner was running around with his megaphone, trying to make sure everything was happening at a good pace. In November 77, they were still working on Krypton miniatures. And let's see, they were also starting to work on the Golden Gate Bridge miniature, where the bus full of school kids was saved by Superman. And then all the way through December, they were still doing blue screen flying with Christopher Reeve, which of course was very challenging because he had a blue costume on.
And of course it explains the teal costume that we've seen in versions of Superman.
And speaking of that, one of the big differences in the 4K release is that the master colorist and his team went back and were able to color correct so many of the flying scenes where Superman's costume appears more teal than blue. And that was very exciting for me and something I hoped they would have done. And they did to a greater extent than they've ever done before. course, we all know the flyby scene where Superman flies by the camera on the way to Hoover Dam. Well, that's perfectly blue now. Of course, they did that in 01, but they did it with many other scenes too, which I think especially the hardcore fans are going to notice right away.
Well, let me say this, and you mentioned it at the top of the podcast, you know, the definitive Making of Superman the Movie book written by David Michael Petro has been such a great companion for fans over the years. You really dive into that book and it takes you back to the filming of Superman the Movie and, of course, much of Superman 2. But it is a really exciting time for us here because we are lucky enough to have David Michael Petro's original recordings of those interviews that he did from Superman the Movie.
Absolutely, Jay. About 4 years ago, David contacted me and said, "Hey, what's your home address?" And I gave it to him, and he said, "I've got something to send you." I said, "What?" He said, "I want to send you all of my cassette tapes from all of the interviews I did for my book." And I was absolutely blown away. And I got these tapes in, and they were a couple of different sizes. So I was able to digitize them, and wait till you hear some of the things that didn't make it in the book. It's absolutely fantastic. But he also sent me a couple of other goodies that I just have to mention. And one of them is, for fun, the makeup artist Stuart Freeborn, which most of us know was directly responsible for the creation of the look of Yoda in Empire Strikes Back. He made a life mask of David's face. And so David sent that to me as well. It's a first generation life mask right off his face by the great Stuart Freeborn. And then he sent me his two tickets from the royal premiere of Superman the Movie when he attended it in London. So I am extremely grateful to David, and I'm so excited that you and I, Jay, will be able to share a lot of the audio with the fans of our podcast.
Well, and often, Jim, you and I have said, boy, it would be great just to time travel and be able to go back to the filming of this movie and be there. And that's what these interviews do. Over the years in documentaries, we've seen Christopher Reeve and many of the stars interviewed talking about the experience of making Superman. In this case, you're listening to interviews as the film was happening. And that is really exciting. As a matter of fact, let's go back to November 21st, 1977, when David Michael Petro speaks with Christopher Reeve.
From the audio archives of David Michael Petro, it's another Making of Superman rare and exclusive interview.
Since you seem pretty intent on establishing Christopher Reeve, the man, Christopher Reeve, the actor, not just this character, Superman, the plot's man, and everything's okay. Tell me a little bit about the motivating forces in your life, Chris. What are your pet dreams, or your fears, or your jewels, your aspirations?
First of all, what people really want to see is the character. They want to look on the screen and say, yeah, that's Superman. So that's my first responsibility, that's my first job, is to make sure the people who go to the movie, who've loved the comic book character for 40 years, are not going to be disappointed. That this guy is right. Hey, he looks like Clark Kent. Hey, he looks like Superman. That is Superman. Now, it's how to do that, plus how to survive as an actor at the same time, so that I pave the way for my own future. It takes a sort of a dual concentration. On one hand, I'm working for the public. The other hand, I'm working for myself. Now, I don't want to hang the public up about what I'm doing for myself, because that's not, they wouldn't be interested in that. That's boring, you know. I'm really blessed in this movie in the fact that I'm being allowed to play two parts. You know, I'm really, really happy for that. I'm not so worried about surviving this movie, as people sort of, so they keep asking this question all the time about, well, you know, sort of boils down, is there life after Superman? Yeah, I think so, because in my life, I've always survived the last crisis. So in terms of fears, I have a sort of perfectionist streak in me, which really makes me very restless a lot of the time. I come home every day from work just absolutely, sometimes in agony, about the fact that a scene wasn't 100%. And I keep saying, you know, like, well, I'll fix it with the music. It'll be all right. You know, like the page of John Williams, you know, Jeffrey's, you know, like, please, a little more violins there will carry me in that scene. Then they'll play that on Brando, that'll carry me. That's not Hackman, he's funny. He'll carry me in that scene. Ned Beatty, oh, he'll save my ass in that scene. I really think that way. I really think so. I'm driven. I'm a compulsive person. I am driven you know, which is why when I'm walking around the set, I can't take visitors, I can't take screwing around, I can't take lateness, I can't take, I go nuts because I'm so rigidly focused into the work. And so that's something I'm going to have to work on. It's sort of, you know, the way I work is not the way everybody works.
It's fascinating to listen to. And Jim, you know, the thing that strikes me when I hear that, and it really was a first for me when I was putting this together just to play today on this podcast, was that Christopher Reeve took this role really seriously. This meant something to him. And we've joked around before. We've been in panels with people like Jack who mentioned that Chris was, very serious, sometimes tough to work with because he was always laser focused on this character. But boy, the end result really came through on screen.
Well, that's right. And, you know, all the conversations that he had with Richard Donner along the way, you know, Richard Donner took the part or took the role of being the director because he wanted to make sure that the character was treated with a great deal of integrity. So, yeah, he wanted to make sure that the character was properly honored. He had a certain work ethic that he brought to all of the different sound stages, and he really wanted everyone to be as focused and on their game every day as he was. And yeah, we've talked to Jack and Sarah and everybody that they worked a little bit differently. That's just a different style. And he liked to stay in character. He asked Mark McClure to stay in character as Jimmy all of the time. And I just think he wanted to create this world that where he was able to come across on the screen as sincerely and as true to the character as he could. Mm-hmm. And he seemed to have a lot of fun with it, too. He always talked about Clark Kent being more challenging acting-wise than Superman was. Superman was the physical challenge. Clark was the more the acting challenge. So it really shows on the screen. I mean, that's why I admired the guy so much, is he did have such a strong work ethic and loved the craft of acting.
It's so exciting to be able to listen to some of these interviews that David Michael Petro was able to conduct and will continue to in the weeks ahead. We'll dive into Superman 2, the Donner Cut. We'll talk more about these unbelievable soundtracks, really for all the films, and tell you about some of the things that we have coming up in 2019 as we get a little bit closer and we continue to celebrate. And Jim, you always say it, although this is the 40th anniversary of Superman the movie, you think about that movie being released in December 15th of 1978, and really 1979 was the year of Superman.
Well, it really was. And you know, I was recently conversing with a good friend of mine, Michael Coate, who's a well-known researcher in all of the details of some of these classic films. He's a giant Star Wars fan and Close Encounters. And I asked him a few weeks ago, just for confirmation, how long did Superman run in the theater? And he was able to dig pretty deep and found out that it actually ran from December 1578 all the way through October of 79. And it only ran in the theater where I lived in Washington State through April of 79. But 79 was huge. And that's why I'm excited to keep this celebrating going throughout next year.
And boy, as you're talking, I'm writing notes, thinking to myself, you know, we need to spend a little time on one of our future podcasts just talking about the first time many people saw Superman the movie on ABC television, the first time it ran as a two-night really special. So we have a lot to cover in the year ahead. And just like that, our first Caped Wonder Superman podcast is complete.
Congratulations, Jay.
Congratulations, Jim.
I am so happy about this. This is just great. I mean, I hope a lot of people contact us with ideas and suggestions, and we're going to try to get hold of as many stars and people that made these movies, and hopefully they'll come on and have some great conversation with us and maybe share some things that no one's ever heard before.
Sounds like a plan. We want to thank, of course, everyone that visits CapedWonder.com, which is just a fabulous website. I mean, we could spend time just on that and some of the amazing photographs that Jim Bowers has acquired over the years. But that's the great thing about doing this podcast every week. We have so much to cover and plenty of time to do it. And that said, that is all today for our first Caped Wonder Superman podcast. Thanks to Dave Fox in New York City for being our great voice. Thanks to Lou Dahlman for his assistance in the production of this episode. And we will be back next week. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks so much, Jay. Everyone have a great day.
You've been listening to the Caped Wonder Superman podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Jay Towers is a Detroit TV anchor and morning radio host on 100.3 WNIC Detroit. Follow Jay on Instagram and Twitter at Jay Towers. Jim Bowers is the founder and editor of CapedWonder.com, the home of Caped Wonder Superman imagery. Follow Jim on Instagram at Caped Wonder and on Twitter at Caped Wonder Jim.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.